Blog Talk Radio. Trying to create confusion in our life. But God, is always there. Never forget that he will bring you through. And then how God will do things to let you know that he's with you. The lady that did the sonogram, the radiologist, guess what? Name Bridget. Felt like mine. Had a German grandmother. I had a German teacher who called us Brigitte. It was like, whoa, look at God. Wonderful, awesome woman of God. And all I can say is, God bless Bridget. You know, God bless her with all the desires of her heart. You know, she wanted to live in Alaska, and God granted her request. You know, everything she said she's ever asked God for, he has come through. So we got to pray, and we got to minister. Wherever you are, let God go with you, because he is always in the midst. I don't know why I was in the hospital yesterday, but I do know that I took God with me, and he ministered through me to those that may not know him. They listened in and watched the people in my room pray. Hallelujah. Prayer changes things. Shout out to my pastor, Pastor Jesse Hanks, and thanking God for his grace. Thanking God for his mercy. Thanking God for his goodness. Thanking God for his grace toward me. Thanking God for his grace toward you. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Father God, this morning I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your goodness and your kindness. I thank you for always being there with me wherever I go. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to minister on yesterday through what I thought could have been a bad and an ugly, but it turned out for my good. Hallelujah, Lord God, I thank you for just being who you are, an awesome and mighty God. In the midst of all things, you come through. Father God, I lift up this word to you this morning, knowing that all things work for our good, that even when we are attacked by the vipers and the sneaky snakes, you just help us to shake it off and keep on going. Father God, I thank you for the shake-off. I thank you that the enemy has no power because you are in the midst of my life. Father God, I thank you for my sons and ask you to watch over them. Bless them as they drive the highways and byways on their jobs. Lord God, I ask you to bless them in the coming in and the going out. Lord, I bless, ask you to bless my family, bless my sisters, my sister biological, and my sisters of the heart. Bless my children, oh God, all of my children, biological and of the heart. Lord God, I ask you to just bless my pastor as she goes to more memorialize all those that have gone before us in St. Louis on Sunday. Lord, give her a rhema word for all the bereaved, oh God, for some that have not been able to get over the deaths of their loved ones, and those that may have. I ask your blessings, God, over all the bereaved, because we know, Lord, millions didn't make it, but we are some of the ones that did. Lord God, we know that you are in charge and that you're just getting everybody's attention, time to make changes in our life, time to get better, time to move forward, time to know that we are loved by you and you are loved by us, Father God. Father, I thank you again for this day that you have made. I rejoice and am glad in it. And Father God, I ask as I decrease, that you increase, oh Lord, that you increase, oh Lord, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord God, may they be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But Father God, you are my strength. You are my strength and you are my redeemer. And I lift up this day all those that must preach words and teach words. I lift up pastors, teachers, and all the fivefold today, asking you, God, to give them all rhema words, to give them testimonies from these tests that we go through. From my test, I will come a testimony. Hallelujah. From whatever mess I have will come a message, God, because you will give it to me, and I believe, and I trust you. Lord God, let this word permeate hearts, minds, and spirits on today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Giving honor to God. Hallelujah. Who is the source of my strength. In Jesus' name. I lift up, giving honor. I just want to give praise today. I just want to praise him forever and ever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And let's get into this word this morning. We are coming out of Acts chapter 27 and 28. And God willing, we might even go into Romans today. But we're going to do New Testament. And then, if time permits, we will go back into Nehemiah. But God put on my heart today to go to this New Testament word that we didn't get to on yesterday. And the word for yesterday and for today is coming out of Acts chapter 27. And as we go into it, it says this now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Anandrax, Adriatic Sea, there we go, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Oh! Faith. Paul had faith. Because God had already said, I'm going to save all of you. All 200 plus of you. But you got to stay together. And then the soldiers cut away ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day. You have waited and continue without food and eating nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, but this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they had planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosening the rudder ropes and the hoisted they men. Mainsail and the mainsail to the wind and made for shore, but thinking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow struck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion wanted to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard and get to land. And the rest, some on board, some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to the land. They all escaped to land. Why do you think they all escaped to land? Why? Because God was with them in their good, their bad, and their ugly. And Paul was thanking God. We got to thank God through it all. We got to lift up the name of Jesus through it all, through the storms, through the waves, do the everything, even when you can't swim, you got to get in the water, because sometimes all you need is to get a little dunking to come back up and appreciate the life that you have. And it says this, all escape safely to land. God had promised that everyone on board would be saved, and so it happened. Some swam, some floated on boards or pieces of ship, but everyone made it to shore safely. We never go wrong by trusting God's word. Can y'all say hallelujah with me? We never go wrong by trusting God's word. He's always with us. He has never left us. He has never forsaken us. He is always there. And through it all, he loves us more than we can imagine. And as we continue in this word this morning, now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness. But they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. But he shook off the snake into the fire, the creature into the fire, and suffered no harm. Sneaky snake always tries to rear its ugly, nasty head when God has shown a miracle. He's going to come before or he's going to come after. Every time I've seen it happen, he comes before or he comes after a move of God. And now we all understand that God has moved in Paul. God has moved in the sailors. God has moved in their situation. God has moved all over. And who shows up? That sneaky snake, the nasty little viper, coming to kill, steal, and destroy. But understand, what did God do? He sent Paul. He sent Paul in the midst. He sent Paul to be the one for the snake to attack, because Paul was covered by the blood of Jesus. Paul was covered from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Paul was covered, and not a thing happened. Knocked that little sucker back into the fire where he came from. What did he say? But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. God is with us in our good. God is with us in our bad. God is with us in our ugly. God is with us when we're under attack by the snake, the little slimy, sneaky snake. God is with us. And it says, but after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come, then they changed their mind and said that he was a god, little G. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and destiny. Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hand on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. But understand, Paul prayed over the sick, and they were healed. My pastor prayed over me yesterday, and I know for a fact that I was healed. I saw God work through our healing hands. I believe that God is working on all of us today. Don't worry about what people say. Thank God for every day. After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers. which had wintered at the island, and landing at Syracuse. We stayed 3 days from there. I'm sorry, Syracuse. We stayed 3 days from there. We circled around and reached Rotterdam, and after 1 day, the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli. There we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. Because understand, Paul's assignment is Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appia Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God, took courage. Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brothers, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything to which to accuse me or curse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." Then they said to him, "We neither received letter from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere." And this sect is Christianity. It's us. It is the way. It is the truth. It is the life. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained the solemn testimony of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah, the prophet, to our fathers, saying, "Go to the people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeking you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been to the Gentiles, and they will hear it." And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute amongst themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Hallelujah. He had an assignment. He had an assignment, and he knew that God was with him. And life lessons from Acts chapter 28. The first is this. A viper came out because of the heat and fastened in his hand. Sneaky snake, flying in. They had just been saved from the ocean. Now they're getting warm. And here he slithers in. A move of God had just happened. But he's trying to everybody off their square. But what did Paul do? Shook him off right back into the fire from whence he came. And it says this, but what Dr. Stanley says, God had just rescued Paul from drowning at sea, and immediately he suffered another kind of trouble. Yet God used both difficult incidents to showcase his power and love to those who did not yet believe in him. Hallelujah. In the midst of bad, in the midst of ugly, God showed his good. Hallelujah. Thanking God today. Thanking God today. Acts chapter 28, verse 15. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Paul always traveled in ministry teams, and he always drew on the strength of his fellow believers. He knew that no Christian could grow in faith apart from connecting deeply with others in the body of Christ. We got to preach the word, and don't be afraid to speak of who you are and who you belong to, no matter where you are, even if it's in a hospital bed. Speak the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And thank him. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his goodness and kindness. Thank the Lord today and always. Give thanks to God, for he is always with you. God said in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you, and we must stand on it. Thank you, God, for never leaving me, for never forsaking me, for never giving up on me. Hallelujah. In my good, in my bad, in my ugly, Lord, you've always been there. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Acts 28 and 24, some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. It is always this way when the gospel is preached. Some believe and some don't. Paul said, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And we know that's 1 Corinthians 9 and 22. And as I get to this point, again, my disclaimer for the day, I am coming out of the Charles Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And again, I am not being paid by In Touch Ministries or Dr. Stanley or any of his ministries to hawk this Bible. But I will tell you that this Bible is one of the best Bibles to have in your biblical arsenal. It is awesome. It has a daily word for every day. It has life lessons. It has life examples. It has life questions. It has whatever you need for the day is in this word. Thankful for it. And I just wanted to tell you, please buy this Bible if you have an opportunity. I do know that the online Christian bookstore, I think it's called ChristianBooks.com, is having a Bible sale. If you have opportunity to buy this Bible, buy it. Give it as a gift. Do whatever you need to do, but get this Bible in the hands of someone you know needs a daily word from God. This is a awesome word, and that is what we're reading. Again, you are listening to Blog Talk Radio. This is Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. I thank God for this opportunity to serve in this capacity. For God is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so we're continuing a New Testament today. We'll be back in the book of Nehemiah on Sunday. But for today is New Testament Friday. And we are going into a new book. Hand clap, please. We are going into Romans, the book of Romans. And I have for my little Bible book, Know Your Bible. And in our Know Your Bible, it's an overview of what we're about to read. And it says all 66 books explained and applied. Know your Bible. And I pray that you have your Bible with you so that you can read as I read, so you can see we are in contact. Hallelujah. And this is what Romans is about. The Apostle Paul with the secretarial assistant of Tarsus. And it was written approximately AD 57, mythical conclusion of Paul's third missionary journey, and in 10 words or less to describe Romans, sinners are saved only by faith in Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. The overview of the book of Romans is sinners are saved only by faith in Jesus Christ, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And it goes into a detailed plea. Some call Romans a theology test book. And you get a lot of work out of Romans in college. And it says this, some call Romans a theology textbook, but it is thorough explanation of the Christian life. It's a thorough explanation of the Christian life. Can I say it one more time? It's a thorough explanation of the Christian life. Paul begins by describing God's righteous anger against human sin. And that's what we're going to be reading that shortly in chapter 1 and 2. Noting that everyone falls short of God's standard. Chapter 3. But God himself provides the only way to overcome that sin. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Again, Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Being justified, made right, through faith in Jesus, we can consider ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's Spirit will quicken, give life. Chapter 8. All who believe in Jesus, allowing us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. I love this scripture. Holy and acceptable unto God. And that's Romans 12:1. You know, we are confident. I love that. We are confident. And it goes on to say, it is possible with God's help to be not overcome evil, to be overcome of evil, but to overcome evil with good. And that's also from chapter 12 of the book of Romans. But I want to read that one again. That one again. And it says, it is possible with God's help to be not overcome of evil, but to overcome evil with good. Hit it right there. Again, God is with us wherever we go. God is with us through our good. God is with us through our bad. God is with us through our ugly. God is with us always. And he will get you through when you have faith in Jesus Christ. And it's some quotable scriptures from Romans. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 23:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. God condemned his love, God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. We know that one also. These are all my highlightables. Thank you, Jesus. And it goes and say, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, 6:23 of Romans. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And again, Romans 7:24-25. We know that all things work together. Y'all know Romans 8:28. We stand on it. And, you know, I always think about this scripture when I think about the show Manifest. In Manifest, Michaela always quoted this scripture. But again, those that don't know God did not understand that that show was about faith. That show was about eternal life. That show was about God can do all things. That even raise a plane full of the dead to come back to life. That God can do that. To save souls, to save people from death. You would hear in the background, help her, or help him, all through the show. God was in the midst, and Michaela would say, you know, Mom used to always say, all things work for the good. But see, they never completed it. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Come on now. All things work together for good. But when we get, when we as Christians hear that, we know the rest. We know, okay, that is someone saying, I know God. Hallelujah. I know God. All things work together for good. I know God. Because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. Romans 13:8. Love worketh no ill to his neighbors. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Verse 13:10. And we understand, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not make graven images. Come on, there is no God like our God who is always there. Unique and unusual about Romans. Unlike Paul's other letters to churches, Romans was addressed to a congregation he never met. The great missionary was hoping to see the Roman Christians personally while traveling westward to Spain. It's unclear if Paul ever actually reached Spain or if he was executed in Rome after the end of the book of Acts. So what? In Paul's own words, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Hallelujah. We are about to get into the best, I think, book of the New Testament. You know, Paul had faith. He knew he was going there for a purpose, and he knew the purpose was probably his death. But he went with an open heart, with a willing heart, with a servant's heart to do what he was called to do. He was going to complete his assignment. He was going to complete his assignment. Whatever your assignment is, don't let anybody knock you off your square. Don't let anybody make you feel bad because you did this or that. If it is your assignment, you do it. Paul was going to Rome, possibly to die. But that was his assignment, to spread the gospel through the Roman Empire. And it changed a Caesar's life. It changed a ministry. It created Christianity to the whole world. It's in Rome. Hallelujah. Because he gave his life in Rome. Yes, we know that the church is built on Peter, but it was Paul that brought it to Rome. Let's keep it moving here. In Romans 1, it says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated the gospel of God, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Woo. Again, God is with us wherever we go. Give thanks to the Lord. Ooh, in your good, in your bad, and in your ugly. And it says, now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed, hallelujah, of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greeks. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Come on now. And worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And I'm reading that again because that fits today. That fits what's going on in our world today. Folks choosing people over God. Come on. God's word is true. What you think was yesterday is today. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness, and we call it a reprobated mind, in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God. Can I say it again? Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Be careful that you don't serve men over God. For God is a jealous God, and he will not hold you harmless. You better get the word. And it's not just on Sunday. We got to be in it all the time, meditating on it, because God will show you exactly what he needs you to see. And it says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. But even their women exchanged their natural use for what is against nature. You better say it. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Not my words, Paul's words, God's words. Understand, the word of God is true. And I understand that it hurts some people's feelings. It hurts some people's hearts. It hurts, you know. But again, my pastor says it, and I say it too, because I've had these words that I've read in here that hit me because I wasn't doing right. It hit me like a brick. But the truth is the truth, and we got to stand on it. And I'm not my words, but everything that Paul says is what's going on right now. Just call it like it is. Everything that Paul said is right now. But even their women exchange their natural use for what is against nature. This was not today. That was yesterday. Everything Paul said is what was going on in Rome, what was going on in his time. But it's going on now. So what you think is new is not. It's old. It's not any different now than it was back then. He said it. Everything that Paul said right here is today. Paul could have sat down and penned this letter today. What you think is new is old. That's why history unknown is history repeated. That's why you got to read the word of God so that you don't continue to do what God said not to do. But everything Paul said is here. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Again, not my words, so don't start talking about, well, you know, she preaching against this and that. She's not preaching against anything. That's between you and God. I am not anybody's judge. I can't send a doggone person to heaven, and I sure can't send a doggone person to hell. The only person I can send to heaven and hell is myself by not doing what's right, by not following what God said to do. So I can't judge anybody, and I say this to everybody. Get your judging tongues off of people. Because, again, everything that's being done, it's already been written. It's nothing new. So why are you acting all foolish now? Like, oh, my God, this is that. No, it's always been there. Hasn't changed. All we got to do is pray and trust God. That's what we do. We pray. We believe. We have faith that God can change any nature. God can change anything. God is in charge of everything. And it says that even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to the debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being fulfilled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And he's not just talking about folks that are doing stuff sexually and them sexual immorality. He also talks about envy, murders, covetousness, maliciousness. Come on now. Let's call it right. Backbiting, hating of God, violent, proud, boasterous, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Come on. You right there with all the other wickedness. So, you know, don't just go. I love it how pastors love to get in the pulpit and talk about homosexuality and talk about everybody's sin, but understand it. Don't mention adultery. Don't mention the backbiters. Don't mention the inventors of evil things, but want to talk about everybody else's sin, but not the sin that they commit, which sometimes is adultery. You know, sometimes it's covetousness. Sometimes it's greed. We better understand that we all got have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we need to look at ourselves before we start trying to judge anybody else, because God is with us just like he's with them. Hallelujah. And this is what the word of God says in our life example today. Whew, this word is rich. Romans is rich. And it says this in Romans 1 and 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Who are you ashamed to say the name of Jesus? I'm not. I'm going to speak it wherever I go. Even if it is in a hospital bed, I'm going to call on the name of Jesus. And I don't care who he is. And it goes on to say, we must never feel ashamed of our connection to Christ or to the salvation that he freely offers to all. It is a high privilege to represent him, and we must do so with boldness and enthusiasm. Hallelujah. Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. Can y'all hear me? And it says we live the whole Christian life by faith. We take hold of grace for salvation by faith. And we take hold of grace for growing in godliness by faith. God loves to honor faith because faith honors him. Paul always connected grace and faith not only to salvation but also to obedience. Grace gives us the desire and the power to obey, and I add by faith. Hallelujah. In Romans 1:24, God also gave them up. Romans 1 records how God will give people over to the sins they refuse to give up so that those sins take over their lives and eventually destroy them. Three times Paul uses this as a related phrase. Come on now. God also gives them up. And we know in King James, I believe it says, to a reprobated mind. And as we go into this word for a life example, knowing God, the role of creation. And Dr. Stanley tells us God has given us his creation to demonstrate his power and to give us knowledge about himself. In fact, God has revealed himself enough through creation that it's inexcusable for people to deny the fact that he exists. Ooh, Romans 1:20 testifies since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power. And God is so that they are without excuse. Don't let anybody tell you God don't exist. You can feel it in the air. It's in the atmosphere. We got to know that God is here, always with us. And it says, what is the purpose of creation? God formed this universe to bring glory to himself. So even without a Bible, you can see evidence of him. Therefore, since God has made his existence obvious through nature, we know that the people who reject him, claiming that there is no God, do so because they want to continue doing things their own way. They refuse to acknowledge that God exists because they don't want to be accountable to him. Unfortunately, we all know there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 14:12. Those who seek their own way are ultimately headed to destruction. Of course, that's not to say that creation is a complete revelation of God or that it's adequate for salvation, which is only through Jesus Christ. Can I say that again? Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. However, it shows us that we don't have any excuse. God exists. It explains why in every culture there is a belief in some kind of God. It's natural for people to believe in a higher being, which is why people ultimately feel accountable to standards of right and wrong. Come on now. Even if you watch National Geographic, you will watch and see even in the most remote places on this earth, the indigenous people know of a God. They may not know our God, but they know God. They know there is something that they have to be accountable for, and they know right from wrong. They may not know Jesus, and they may not have the Holy Spirit, but they have a spirit that tells them right and wrong, and they know that there is a God out there. Come on now. Even the remote places on this world may not have heard the name of Jesus, but they definitely know God. So what use is the knowledge that is seen in creation? We can use it to draw other people to the one true God. We can see the great example of it when Paul preached to the people of Athens at Mars Hill. He said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. But as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, Acts 17:22-24. People want to know the true God, so proclaim him openly with boldness. He wants to make himself known to them. And between your testimony and the witness of creation, he will give thanks to God today. For God is always with you. He's with you through your good, and he's with you through your downright ugly. God never leaves us, and he never forsakes us. Hallelujah. Thanks be to the God who causes us to triumph in his name. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in your coming in. Praise the Lord in your going out. Praise ye the Lord today. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for this mighty word this morning. I'm all filled up. And we will be in the book of Esther on Sunday as we look at our last Nehemiah word today. And it says in Nehemiah chapter 12, now these are the priests and the Levites who came up with Zerubbabel. And I believe actually we read this on yesterday. So thank you, God. We are actually all finished up. We have gotten where we needed to go. Hallelujah. But I just want to say this last word, though, from Nehemiah. From verse 30 in chapter 12 and 13, it says, thus I cleanse them of everything pagan. I also assign duties to the priests and the Levites, each to his service, and to the bringing the word of offering and the first fruit as appointed times. Remember me, oh my God, for good. Hallelujah. Ask God to remember you for good, because God loves you. And there ain't nothing you can do about it, but nothing back. Thank God today we are all caught up in our word. We will be back on Sunday in Esther chapter 1 and Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 2. So thank you all so much. Whew, I'm just all filled up. We are good. Thank you, God. I didn't know why God was doing what he was doing on yesterday. But I see it now. Thanking God for this word. Thanking God for all of you. Asking God to cover you in your coming in and your going out. And just remember, God is with us in our good, our bad, and our ugly. Never forget that even when the sneaky snake comes out of the wood, God will help you shake him off and throw him back into the fire from whence he came. Trust God today. Believe God today and know that he's got you covered from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet. And before we get out of here, as always, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Sarah. Good morning. God will appear, show up for you just when you need him. Trust that he will be on time for every situation. Have a faith-filled Friday. You know what, I'm not even going to say it. Y'all already know. Sister Carolyn is in the spiritual wind. Our word today talked about God being with us wherever we go. Talked about being thankful to God. Talked about faith. Everything she has is there. God showed up for Paul when the viper hit. Everything God says he will do, he will do. And I say to you, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other, in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And join me, God willing, on Sunday as we go into the book of Esther. A new book, same time, same place, trusting God. Have a great day, family, and be filled with the faith that only God can give you. It is, as we say on moving forward, it's a wrap. Thank you so much, because it's time to go to work. And I just want to say one time, trust God, he'll get you through everything that you're going through. Read the Bible and pray. Be blessed. It's a wrap.